If you will, let's open to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Here in Proverbs 3, we're going to get some very wise counsel. This is from Solomon. This here is the wisest man that ever walked in the flesh, born of Adam. He's pretty smart. He knows more than I know. And it may come as a shock. He probably knows a little bit more than some people that's going to hear my voice now or in the future. Pretty smart fellow. And he gives us the best counsel, the best pearl of wisdom we could give to someone else. But the Lord gave this to us. He gave this to us. Before I could teach somebody something, I got to know it. To teach is to learn twice. I got to learn it the first time. I hope the Lord shows us this evening. This body of death that we're walking around in, it's getting older by the day. Time moves only one way. We won't always be young. I'm getting older. The vaporness of life, it becomes more apparent with age. We become more childlike, don't we? We started out, we had real light hair. Somebody had to take care of us. Didn't have many teeth. Couldn't reach stuff up real high. What happens when we get older? Our hair starts getting lighter on my arm. Teeth getting long in the tooth. Gingivitis was kicking in. I can't reach stuff as high. Stretch to get up there, don't I? This life is quickly fading. And we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Tonight might be the last time any of us hear the gospel. The Lord may keep us alive and dried up. Don't know what He might do. But we have today, don't we? We have right now. You know whatever happened in the past? That's the past, isn't it? Good place for it. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. You know what time it is? It's right now. That's what time it is. It's always right now, isn't it? There will be a day when those that had the gospel of God available to them, they have beloved brethren of God available to them. They have a fellowship of the saints. It was right there on their back doorstep. Fully available to them. The day will come that they will beg to have it. And it'll be gone. When what was once peculiar, once was strange. That's weird. Why do you go down there every Sunday evening? Don't you watch football? Can't you do this from home in your pajamas when you feel like it? Why do you congregate on time in an orderly fashion? That weird, peculiar, strange thing, it's going to become strongly desired for people, and it'll be too late. We live in a world that despises the gospel that we preach and believe all around us. The Lord we worship and serve, they despise it. Our brothers and sisters that we associate with, man told me one time, said, those men you preach about, you talk about all the time, Don and Henry and those, some of those men don't mean nothing to me. I said, they mean everything to me. That's who the Lord used to preach to me. They're important. They're despised. And the world that we're just traveling through, I'm just here for a season, just for a trip, for a race. The religion of man looks at us and they think, boy, what a strange doctrine you have. Singular. What good's that? You only got one. Our brother was down in Mexico years ago, and somebody came up to him. And they said, in this part of the country, they said, are you all four-pointers or five-pointers? And he said, we're one-pointers. Got 1 point. Now, all those, that's a good way to eat the elephant. That's all spokes in a wheel, but the wheel ain't doctrines. It's always plural, too, isn't it? Doctrines. I come to the doctrines. So I come to Christ. That's all you preach to me. That's all I got and all I need. That's all I want. I want Him. Just want to know Him. What we're going to look at tonight, this is the blessed declaration of our hope that's in the person and the work of Christ. Here's something that you and I need this evening. When we see our bodies becoming more frail, when this inner man just feels weaker every day. That's growing down. That's growing in grace. We don't feel like it, does it? When we grow down, We're getting weaker. We get tired in body. We get tired in mind. We're running a race, ain't we? Get smiles underneath us. We don't mosey around. We run it. This life's a race, isn't it? And there's a spending that takes place, a using up, consumption in this world. And we need to be encouraged one more time. I need encouraged one more time. Here's something: if you are in the prime of your life, boy, you're strong and young and got the bull by the tail. We need to be ever reminded of who we are and who our Savior is. And here's something for that person that has no direction. They have no hope. They're just bouncing around. A little over here, a little over there, and that's inside or out. Just discombobulated all over the place. They're ahead with the chicken cut off. Here's a nail in a sure place for you. Here's something you can hang your hat on. Here's the words of Solomon, wise counsel. This is outstanding advice. You can't get no better than these two simple verses. Look here in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I have 3 points tonight, and I'll do my best to be brief. First, we're going to look at the command. There's a precept here, an exhortation, a command from the Lord to us. He used Solomon to pen it. Here's our command: to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Then we're going to see an explanation, how to perform what the Lord commanded. What's that look like? What's it look like to trust in the Lord with everything in your heart? It's to lean not to thy own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Well, you know, Kevin, I think, stop. Wrong. That's what the Lord tells us. And then we get a promise. Here's the blessing from that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not looking to yourself, acknowledging Him in all things. He says, and He shall direct thy paths. He might not do it right now. There's going to be some waiting in there. But He shall direct thy path. This encouragement, this is for all the Lord's people. Strong ones and the weak ones. The big ones and the small ones. Young ones and old ones. This is for us. And we need reminded often of it. We read this morning. That ain't enough. We need to dwell on these things. We need to take a small morsel. We don't need a smorgasbord eating everything we can get our hands on. We need some small, healthy bites sometimes and to savor it, don't we? That'd do us better. It'd do us better. Am I sure? Am I sure I need to hear this again? Am I sure? I know I need to hear it today. Do you need to hear it? How do you trust Him? Fully? Without fail? How are we doing when it comes to turning from what my understanding is? How do we acknowledge Him in all of our ways? How do we wait on Him? Are we good at waiting on Him? We need to hear that, don't we? There is peace found. I mean, a flowing river of peace. When He grants us the ability, when He gives His people the grace to do so, to trust Him, not to look to ourselves, to acknowledge Him, and just to wait patiently for Him to move our steps. Every time, without fail, peace will come. Peace will come. Here's the command. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means to have confidence in, to be secure in, to be bold in the Lord of hosts, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, with everything in you, with all your heart. Seeking everything you need in this world, temporarily, what we touch, see, smell, taste, eat, pay light bill with, and in the world to come. Seek every bit of it from your Maker, from your Lord. I need a job. Trust the Lord. Seek it from Him. I need a salvation. I need a robe of righteousness. I don't have no righteousness. seek it from the Lord. And trust Him. Trust Him. Trust the Lord. This is God the Father that chose you before time began. Put you in Christ. Put you in His Son. In the beginning, God. It's Him. So we're told to trust. The very one that promised you eternal life in His Son. The one that showed you mercy and grace before you were even formed in the womb. That's the Father. To trust the Son. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for your soul. All of you. Every bit of it. His blood was shed. That's who died for His people. Lord put in Him. And He's a friend closer than a brother. And I was reading that today, and it hit me. I got some real good friends. And I'd probably sacrifice a lot for them. And they'd sacrifice a lot for me. And I would say that I'm as close to them. They're just like my brother in the flesh, you know, of siblings. They're a sibling to me. Christ is closer than a sibling. Than somebody that's got my blood flowing through their veins. He's closer than that. We're to trust the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. The one that revealed Christ in you. The Holy Spirit, everybody just said, well, there ain't no Holy Ghost down there. And the Holy Ghost this, and the Holy Spirit that. And the Holy Ghost, if there's somebody that talks about the Holy Ghost all the time, don't have it. He said He comes speaking of Christ. If you got Christ, you got the Holy Ghost and the Father and our whole kit and caboodle, don't you? That Spirit come to us and convicted us of what we were. Trust that. You'll know it if He does it. If He ever does it for somebody and you're convicted of sin, buddy, the waterworks are coming on. Whether you buy yourself in front of them, ain't no show. It's going to be for real. And convict us of Christ's righteousness. Boy, His blood was effectual. That's what was sprinkled on that mercy seat. That's what covered that broken law that I broke. It was shed for me, and I was the reason it was shed. And the Father purposed it all. If that's convicted in your heart, trust it. With everything in you, trust that Spirit to come to you. Lord sent it. Why do we trust Him? Why do we trust this triune God? Numbers 23 says, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of a man that He should repent. He don't need to change His mind. He ain't like me. He don't need to lie. Hath not He said, and shall not He do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall not He make good on it? He says, I'm going to do something. There's no possibility of failure. He's going to do it. God doesn't want nothing. If He wants something, it's already done. It's going to rain today. It rained already. He's our Creator. This is who we're told to trust. Me and Tim's talking about that today. You think about an aortic valve, a bicuspid valve. You start getting the mitral valves and all these things. What's some complicated stuff, isn't it? Tiny. Works a whole bunch. Look how many times that thing flaps a day, open and closed, moves around. We couldn't figure that out if we had to, could we? God made it. He made it. And you know what He made it out of? Dirt. We can't hardly make it out of plastic, make it last more than a week. He made it out, give me some dirt. Look, there's a heart. There's your brain. Every bit of it. Trust Him. That's who we're told to trust, our Creator. There, Titus 1:2 says, we have the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Before the world began. Before we came on the block. Before I had a brain to think, He promised it. The one that cannot lie. What happened way back then? Back before the world began. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's past tense and that's present tense. And that's to come. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's able to. That's somebody to trust, isn't it? The one that's able to. The God of all creation, of the universe, gave His people all the blessings in heavenly places in Christ before we even had a conscience, and He can't lie. All this happened in that covenant of grace before time. How then was it effectual if it hadn't happened yet? He just said it was going to happen. That's the power of the Word of God. Paul wrote, said, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform." That's to trust the Lord. Are you persuaded he's able to keep his word? If he's come to you, you are. I'm persuaded. I'm not persuaded I'm able to keep my word. I'm not persuaded I'm able to do anything. I might tell you I'll be over for dinner and I may not make it. The Lord said he'll be over for dinner. He's going to be there. I'll put money on it. It has to. It has to happen. There's no remote possibility that God will not or cannot make good on His promises. It's an impossibility. Look at that Mount of Transfiguration. That always just, oh, what a precious sight that was. Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, met on that Mount of Transfiguration. Joshua said Moses. That's the first word of Joshua. You end the Torah and it says the law's dead. God sent Joshua. That's where everybody stops. All right, let's go back to the law. Right there they stood. Moses and Elijah on that Mount of Transfiguration. Speaking of what was to come. What he must accomplish. Christ died on the cross. Well, how was they already in heaven? It hadn't happened yet. God said it was going to. That's already money in the bank. People get all bent out of shape over this imputation stuff. If the Lord said there's something in your account, there's something in your account. I'm going to save my people. They're saved right then. It's done. 2 Samuel 22 says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him." How did the Lord do all this stuff, being just and justifier? How He did it was perfect. Better than I could dream up. The word of the Lord is tried. It's been around for a while. These proverbs, you know what? That Solomon guy may have been smarter than me. He may have known something. And he's a buckler to them that trust Him. Trust in Him with all your heart, and He'll be a buckler. He'll be a covering, a sturdy, righteous covering. It's all my righteousness. We trust the Lord and His promises because of what He swore by. What did He swear by? He said, "I swear by my name. I swear by my glory. It is sure." That's the collateral on the promises of God. Almighty God's glory. That's pretty good collateral, ain't it? That's something to trust in. He said it. And we trust Him because He's a just God and a Savior. We have a sovereign God. But if He was sovereign and evil, we're in trouble. Is that right? That ain't the case. He's sovereign and holy. Just. A good and just Savior. There's no double jeopardy. Lord, if He took out all the wrath I deserved, I earned in my sin on Christ on the cross, He can't come to me again. It's double jeopardy. The law cannot twice demand, once at my bleeding surety's hand, then again at mine. It's satisfied. That's when Moses struck the rock a second time. The Lord said, "You ain't making it into the land. I told you, speak to it. It's already been struck. It's over. It's done." That's who we're to trust. That's a good one to trust. You're going to trust somebody. Trust Him. Trust His Word. When do we trust Him? When we're being corrected. He's promised there, down in verse 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." He's promised those He loves, He's going to correct. And if you're in the middle of a horrible trial, or a light trial, trust Him with all your heart. Maybe He'll give you some comfort. I know He will. He promised He will. In the life of a believer, we're in continual correction of heart. That old man's always with us. And it don't care about getting corrected. And a new man is the only one that understands and sees the need of correction. And when we think we got it all figured out, boy, I'm doing good now. I got my head on straight now. I'm in my right mind now. Watch out. I tell you from experience, something's coming. Correction's coming. What are we to do? Knowing it's coming, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We need to trust Him when we have a temporal ease and blessing. When we get something, somebody won the lottery, you better pray for them. Somebody got a business that's booming, you better pray for them. I might start trusting myself. I may not be a good steward of what the Lord gave me. He might use this to chasten me and run me off. Trust the Lord who gave it to you. Trust Him with all your heart. The psalmist said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Why wouldn't He suffer His righteous, His beloveds to be moved? Peter told us, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That God we are to trust. What a God He is. He cares for me. Oh, you talk about having something to chew on for a while. Something to ponder. You want to write some books about that? That's my book. Ain't nobody else can read it. He cares for me. A worm like me, He cares for me. He cares for you that trust Him. You that know Him. You He's come to. When it comes to our salvation, that's a time to trust Him. Got to. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. We don't have a dog in that fight. And looking to ourselves and sitting on the fence is how we spend our time. Somebody's sitting on the fence and they dive a little bit in the world and they dive a little bit in Christ. They can take Him or leave Him. You're coming off that fence. It's going to be on one side or the other. And in this lifetime, I pray it's on the side of Christ. He yanks you off of there, and like He told Zacchaeus, get you down. We don't need to be up. Everybody wants uplifting. No, it would do us good to be brought down some. At that time. Yesterday's gone. maybe we straddled fences a whole life. Long time. And the Lord finally showed us that we ain't known Him as long as we think we have. Tomorrow's not promised. Yesterday's already gone. It's right now. This text that we have right there, trust in the Lord, that's present tense. That was present tense yesterday when we read it. That was present tense this morning, present tense right now. And if the Lord keeps us till tomorrow, go read that. That means right now. When ought I trust Him? Right now. Right now and always. What a precept. What a command to the hearts of His people that He's given us. But it looks a little easier said than done, don't it? How are we to trust? What does trusting the Lord look like? Look here in verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. We're to trust the Lord, and He explains that for us. Lean not to your own understanding, and acknowledge Him in all your ways. What peace would enter into the life of a believer. I mean, clicking your heels, walking down the streets, the birds are singing so sweet today. If we could enter into that. If He'd let us enter into that. What is man's understanding? Pride's what the Lord hates worst, isn't it? He said six things I hate. Yea, seven. Proud looks, number one. I know a lot. We don't know nothing. We don't know nothing. The triune God. There's a Father, there's a Son, there's a Holy Ghost, and all three of them's one, and all three of them's individual. Hey, you got that? Somebody says they got that figured out. Don't hear them. That's above my pay grade, isn't it? Christ being made a man. Almighty God. Heavens can't contain Him. Fitting into a body. Probably a small, frail-looking body, too. Wasn't a big, old, robust man with big muscles. Uncomely. True, holy substitution. We can't do that as humans. You could shoot somebody and I'll say, I'll go to prison for them. I'll go to the electric chair for them. And they could take me and die. You're still guilty. That guilt didn't transfer. A body might have, but we're just warm flesh, ain't we? We got that figured out yet? We don't know that. We don't understand that. Christ being made sin, who knew no sin. Oh, it's something. And then us being made righteous. Boy, I can't wrap my head around that. The Lord interceding for us in prayer. The old man and a new man in one body. That's something. I know it's a war. I probably don't know what some of the battle damage is, but I sure feel the war going on. Capital H, heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Heaven's a person. You want to be with Him. In judgment, all the saints of God. Here's something I don't understand. I have no understanding to turn to. All the saints of God will rejoice at the judgment of the wicked. Can you figure that out? How people I love, I mean, I care for, they have no care for my Lord. And right now, I weep. I have tears over it. Lord, do something in them. If sure will, Lord, reveal yourself to them. But in that day, I'll say, boy, that's just right. Just right. We got that figured out? We're going to be without sin before God. I'm going to be alive for eternity and no sin. I have a holy nature. What's even more amazing than that? In the eyes of God the Father, I am right now. Holy and perfect. Right now, the believer is holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. We don't understand that. That's our heart. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't even know. He gives us a glimpse, but we don't even know. That's our understanding. Don't lean to that understanding. Don't lean on what you know. Don't lean on what you think. Trust the Lord. Trust Him. And acknowledge Him in all of our ways. We can acknowledge the Lord. I can't fully enter into any of those things I just told you, but I know the Lord did it. I know He's able, and I know how He did it was right. And how I'd have done it would have been wrong. We can acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him in salvation. Am I saved? Don't look to what you understand. Don't look to what you think. Acknowledge the Lord. There'll come a time we've got to acknowledge Him in His Word. There's a time some people may have thought, well, you have to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Wrong. That ain't it. You acknowledge the Lord. You're saved by works. Wrong. You don't keep that law. He kept it. You acknowledge Him. Well, He did all this stuff. We can get a little bit holier. We got some holy living to work out, to ripen ourselves up. Wrong. You're going to acknowledge Him. If you're His, you will. He'll make you. Thanks be to God. We acknowledge Him in providence. Ain't that right? What peace there is. Stub your toe, break a bone, wreck a car, get fired, get a job. However that goes, and say, you know what? The Lord did this. The Lord did this. That's peace right there. That's peace. That's comfort. Trust in the Lord. I trust that He did that for me. It's for my benefit, His glory, for His holy name. He did this today for me. We can acknowledge Him in assurance. Oh, I need to do that. What do we know? Do I know I have assurance? I don't know. I know He's sure. I know His salvation's sure. That's all I need to know, isn't it? I acknowledge Him. He's able. He's able to keep me from falling. Acknowledge His promises. He said, I'll never leave you and forsake you. That's how we can acknowledge His assuring promises. We may think we've been forsook. We may think He's left us, but our understanding's wrong. His is right. We trust Him. We look to Him, acknowledge Him. We acknowledge His power to accomplish His will. He said, I'm going to save a people. The Lord said, I've given nations for you. Nations for you. I'd feel pretty guilty if the Lord killed 10 people in front of me and said, I did that to save you. Unless I saw Him. Unless I saw what a wretch I was and what I had coming. He said, I've given nations for you. We acknowledge Him correcting His children. And we don't get in the way of it. Boy, that's good advice. We know that in the fleshly world, don't we? See somebody correcting her. Lord, see the Lord correcting His children. He's the one that does it through the preaching of His gospel. We want to jump in on it. I think I can add a little something to it. We'll make this a little clearer for you. I remember when I was a kid, if one of my siblings was getting a good whipping, I didn't want to be in the same room. I might get some too. I might catch a whipping too. Get out of the room. The Lord's correcting one of His children. Trust the Lord to do the correcting. Trust Him to complete the work. And the God of all glory gives us faith to trust Him, to stop relying on our great big old brains and experiences that we went through in this world, and we acknowledge Him, who He is. What's the result? He gives us a promise. Isn't that something? Look here in verse 5 again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord wholeheartedly. Don't look to your own understanding and your knowledge. Acknowledge Him and wait on Him to direct your steps.
That's what better advice could you give somebody? That's good advice.
He shall direct your path. We read that real quick, don't we? And we think, well, he's going to show me what to do, and he'll make sure if I'm supposed to be in Northern California next month, he'll make sure I'm in Northern California next month. And that's true. Lord's sovereign in providence. But that word direct means right, pleasant, and prosperous. How's my path going to be in this world? It's going to be right. I know that. Lord's directed it. He's directed my path, my right path. Lord's purpose to have a pleasant path. He tells us that plainly throughout these Proverbs. Doesn't you have a long, happy life. You have brethren all around you. It won't hardly be a state I could drive across this country and not have some place to stay and somebody feed me. Take care of you. And it'll be prosperous. Be prosperous eternally. I know some very poor financial believers, and I know some very wealthy believers. But you know what? The poorest believer on the face of the earth and the wealthiest believer on the face of the earth, they're both prosperous because they got Christ, our inheritance. That's real prosperous. Lord's going to direct your path. Trust Him. Don't look to you. Acknowledge Him, and you're going to be prosperous for eternity. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. We ain't got no way. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. It's not up to me to decide what I do. Lord may let me go, may let somebody go, but He allowed it. He directs the steps. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You trust that? My brother Marvin said this. What is the best thing that could happen to a child of God today? What would have been the absolute best thing that could have happened to you individually in here tonight, today? What happened today? Whatever happened today, that's the absolute best thing that could have happened to you. Because the Lord sent it. He purposed it. And He worked it for good and for His glory. If I could trust that, be brought into remembrance of that often, boy, what a comfort we'd have, wouldn't it? That makes pain not dulls it a little bit, don't it? Perks you up a little bit. If we trust Him, not trusting ourselves, but honoring the Lord, thanking Him for all of it, for all things, the Lord's going to make our paths straight, upright, and pleasant, and prosperous. And He's the one that brought us to do that trust, and He brought us to acknowledge Him, and He brought us to turn away from us, turn away from everything we thought. Sometimes for a long time. He's the one that did it. And we acknowledge Him again. There's a circle there, isn't it? We come full circle. Lord, I got to trust You. And I got to turn from myself. I got to acknowledge You. And I got to wait on You. And I can't do it. And so He says, you're going to trust Me. You're going to turn away from You. You're going to acknowledge Me. And I'm going to make you wait on Me. And I'm going to make you upright. And then what happens again? Lord, I don't think I'm trusting You today. Just keeps going. It keeps going. There in the Scriptures, we read our Master telling him, said, in these Scriptures, you think you had life. You sit around reading the Bible all day long. You think you got something. That ain't life. He's life, isn't he? Well, what did Paul tell Timothy? He said, Timothy, you had these Scriptures from your youth up, and in them's life. In them's life. Is that a contradiction? Of course it ain't. It's about a person, isn't it? About a person. He's got to teach us that. Full circle, being brought back to look and to trust Christ again. That's why His mercies are new every morning. We need mercy every morning. Turn over to Isaiah 42 and I'll let you go. Isaiah 42. Verse 16. Isaiah 42, 16. Our Lord speaks and He says, and I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I'm blind. I don't know how to get there. How do I get to trusting? I'll bring you. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Before someone turned against themselves and their knowledge, they never had done it before. He said, I'll lead you. I will make darkness light before them. And crooked things straight. I'm going to show you that I'm making it straight. You're going to acknowledge Me for it. These things will I do unto them. Boy, that's something. Is that just for today? Is that in the present tense? And not forsake them. The Lord's going to do it all. He's the Lord of salvation, isn't He? We go through all these circles in this life. It's like a heartbeat. We believe, we unbelieve. Believe, unbelieve. Oh, I have assurance and I'm bold to go out and slap a bear in the face. And then I'm scared of a grasshopper. We just keep going back and forth, don't we? Hilltops and valleys. And each time, being ever reminded of the Lord in whom we trust. He brings us right there, over and over again. And He keeps doing it throughout our lives. What about those that don't trust Him? I know about God. I hear people tell me that. I know God. I mean, you might. Well, those that don't trust Him, those that look to their own understanding, those that don't acknowledge God, look what I built. Look what I did. How often is that me? Look what I know. And then I don't need to wait on the Lord. I'll just take action. So Abraham's wife did, didn't it? Well, the Lord took too long. Maybe that's what He meant. Where's Hagar? Don't work out too good, does it? Look here in verse 17. Those that don't trust Him. Isaiah 42:17. They shall be turned back, and they shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, you are gods. And you look to something other than the Lord God Almighty, the God of our salvation, the God of our hope, the God of this universe, the sovereign of all things. So when I got baptized, that's a graven molten image. I walked an aisle when I was a kid, graven molten image. The Lord said, you're trusting in it, not in me. He commands His children to trust in Him. What a privilege that is. It's not just that He's made us do it. We get to. There ain't no peace in them other things. There's worry and strife and carrying on. There's peace in Him. Lord, make us trust. Lord, make us turn from ourselves. Make us acknowledge You and wait for our steps to be directed by You. Makes for a good day, don't it? That's good advice. That's good counsel. Look to Him.